Go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Jude. Got this week and next week, and Jude will be done. I don't know how we ended up so long in it, but it's been good and it's been enlightening to us as we see. Today we're going to look and we're going to see where Jude kind of changes focus. We spent the last 6-7 weeks or so just looking at the different signs of an apostate, who they are, what they do, ways to pick them out. And Jude kind of changes gears this morning. Actually, a little bit from last week, where we've seen him in verse 17, he says, "But you." I mean, all the way through this, the last few weeks, he's been saying, they, referring to these false teachers, these false apostles, these unsaved wolves in sheep's clothing that are roaming around the church. And today, again in verse 20, he's going to say, "But you." And we go back often to verse 1, where he starts out the book by saying, "To those who are the called, the beloved in God the Father, kept for Jesus Christ." I mean, that was the audience who he was writing to. Hopefully that is us this morning as the hearers of this. And remember, he started out by saying, "I wanted to come to you. I wanted to talk to you about our common salvation. I wanted to," almost a picture of, "I wanted to come to you with pleasant thoughts. But, alas, I need to come with this." And I almost get the feeling, since this letter is so similar to Peter's second letter, I almost get the feeling that Jude received Peter's letter and was so struck by it as Peter's warnings of false apostles. And as Jude, in his circumstances, he's looking around, he's reading Peter's letter, and he's saying, Peter's warning of this to come. And Jude says, "We're living in it." So Jude just kind of leapboards off of Peter's second letter and writes this. And he writes it to those that he knows, the believers that he has common fellowship with. And he finishes, as he writes our passage of Scripture today, verses 20 through 23, he says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh." Let's pray one more time. Father, we again ask your blessing on your word. Father, I pray, as always, Lord, remove the things of me from this morning that are detrimental to your word. Lord, may your Spirit use my meager words this morning to fill the hearts of your people. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for its truth. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So Jude is giving us as believers both some encouragement and some ways to handle these apostates, these false teachers. What happens when we come into contact with them? What should we do? Because they're going to be influential. They're going to be people who are trying to divert us from the true faith of the Word of God. And they're not going to be coming dressed in little red suits with little horns and a pitchfork. Most of the time, the Bible says they're going to be coming dressed as angels of light. And sometimes when we listen, we're going to be persuaded because some of the things they say are going to make sense. And if we're not careful, we can be persuaded completely out of the truth. And that's one of the things that I'm very, over the course of the last month, that is just striking me more and more and more. Is when you talk with people, the little proverb or whatever you want to call it, that there's a kernel of truth in everything that you hear. I mean, somebody is not going to come out and give you a bold lie at the beginning. Okay, for me to walk outside today and have Zach say, "Dan, the sky's black." And me to look up and say, "No, Zach, it's not." But for Zach to say, "Well, Dan, you know, right now the sky's blue. But in an hour, it's going to be bright red." He starts out with some truth. And then I don't know about his second statement. But it can get me to wondering. I wonder if an hour, if I walk outside, the sky will be red. And it starts causing some thought. So it is with false teachers. Take John 1:1 and the Jehovah Witness presentation of it. We read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." They read it, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." One letter, completely different meaning, but still surrounded in truth. It does not take much for us to get dragged away. The children of Israel, again, as I've repeated time and time again, 40 years in the wilderness, a cloud, presence of God during the day, a pillar of fire at night. God was right there in front of them. Yet still they forsook him time after time after time. So Jude gives us some things that we can do to protect ourselves. Here in verse 20. He says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith." Build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Now, this could mean one of two things, and people will take it as either one of these. First, it could say, "Beloved, build your faith up. Have more faith." And we see a lot of that today amongst churches in the area and nationwide. Have more faith. But I don't believe that's what Jude is talking about here. He says, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. He's not talking about a subjective faith that we have, but he's talking about the grounds of our faith. The foundation of our faith. He's telling his readers to build yourselves up in your knowledge of who God is. The more knowledge that we have, the better we will be to fight when error comes in. I made the statement in Sunday school, and I'm not trying to counteract that. Okay, we don't wait until we have supreme knowledge in order to go out and profess the gospel. Okay, God wants us obedient with what he has given us. But we don't want to be content and just know the basics and not grow anymore. We need to be founded in God's word all the way through. We need to build up our most holy faith. So when false teachers come, so when you're surfing the channels and you come upon a broadcast on TV and something said, and the pastor says, Jesus was rich as he walked this earth. You shake your head. And he says, Jesus was rich. He says, why else would he need a treasurer to carry his money? Without knowledge of who Christ was, of how Christ lived, without knowledge of Jesus himself saying he didn't even have a place to lay his head, you could construe that. I mean, you could rationalize that. Well, Jesus did have somebody carrying the money. I have somebody carrying my money too. I got my wife. We're not rich. We need to be careful. We need to be built up. We need to know the Word of God. And that is my goal as your shepherd. My goal is to be able to feed you in such a way to where when somebody tries to feed you spiritual tofu, you at least know what a good steak tastes like. Sometimes I feel like I'm feeding you hot dogs, but you know, hopefully we're getting a proper knowledge all the way through. And that's what's important to me. What's important to me is how you guys grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ and having that proper foundation, that most holy faith, being able to say we're being built up in that. That'll help us when the false teachers come. Next he says, praying in the Holy Spirit. Here's a phrase that's taken out of context by so many today. Jude says, pray in the Holy Spirit. Well, what is that? Well, we can go to many churches, many different pastors, and probably be told many different things. Some would advocate that praying in the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues, or getting lost in some other kind of unintelligible utterances. I would advocate that Jude is telling us here that as we're building ourselves up in our most holy faith, as we are increasing that foundation, then our minds are going to come alongside that of the mind of God. Is it not? I mean, I know from personal experience, by being an adoptive father, that the longer my kids are with me, the more they behave like me. Not always the greatest thing, but it's true. I mean, they start taking on my likes. They start taking on my desires. So if we're building ourselves up in the foundation of God, as His children, the more we spend time with Him, the more we get to be like Him, the more then our desires get to be what His desires are. And as we pray then, we're praying with the mind of God. I mean, how many times do we pray selfishly? Me, it's all the time. We fall into circumstances, whether it's financial, whether it's health related, whatever. God, help me get through this. And usually when we pray that way, how are we praying? We're praying with an end result already made up in our head. Are we not? I mean, little Susie breaks her foot. And we pray, God, help me through this. Little Susie's going to be a bear. She's not going to be able to walk. And, help her foot to heal. And, and it's all kind of, and I'm not saying that's a bad way to pray. Don't get me wrong. But it's very, very much me-centered. And I'm using that as a mild example. But we need to pray, God, show me what you want to teach me through this. What can I learn from Susie's broken leg? Maybe I need to be a little bit more compassionate towards Susie. Maybe I need to be a little more loving towards her. Whatever the case may be. But changing the way we pray from being me-centered to being God-centered. God, what would you have me learn? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Jude then says, keep yourselves in the love of God. A false teacher generally will lead you astray from the truth. One of the greatest truths we have is the love that God has for us. A love that is nurturing to us. A love that wants to see us grow in Him. A love that takes our selfishness and removes it and changes us into compassionate, loving people ourselves. If we have a message that detracts us from that, if we have a message that makes us ugly and mean-spirited, then it's probably a false message. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. This is probably one of the hardest pieces of advice that Jude gives. Those two words, or really just that one word, waiting. We're a people who want things now. If I want a new television set, and I look in my wallet, and I have $10, the prudent thing would be wait until I look in my wallet, and there's a few hundred dollars, correct? But do we do that? No, we go on down to the local Best Buy and we either pull out a piece of plastic or start another piece of plastic and we get what we want now. Waiting anxiously. Remember what we said last week? None of the stuff that we're dealing with in this book should be of any surprise. Okay, Jesus warned of it. Paul warned of it. Peter warned of it. John warned of it. Jude is saying it's here. Why do we have to go through things the way we go through them? I don't know. John MacArthur, talking on this subject, said the same thing. He says, why do we go through this? I don't know. But we go through it because God said we will. It's in God's Word. And since He said it, I just have to go along. Patiently. Another hard word. Patiently. Because someday, we will realize the fullness of our eternal life. Think along the lines of what we worry about today. I mean, even legitimate worries. Just think about them. Too much month? Not enough money? Things happening to our children? To our parents? To our spouse? All these things we put so much worry and effort into. And I'm not saying they're not worthy of worry and effort. But you know what? When I leave this earth, that month I didn't have enough money to make it to the end of the month, it's not going to matter. Whether I took the kids to piano lessons or soccer or whatever is not going to matter. And if we can get more of a heavenly mindedness for ourselves, it will help us in everything else. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong impression and say, okay, it's okay to blow off Susie's piano lessons. That's not what I'm saying. But having a more of a heavenly mindedness, an eternal mindset. Because ultimately, that's what matters. And you realize that just even sitting here this morning is doing more to prepare yourself for eternity than almost anything else you could be doing. And it seems simple. I have a case, maybe even simple-minded to think that way, but it's truth. And the more that we can get of building up our foundation of God so that we can pray in the Spirit, so that love of God fills us, the more able we will then be able to wait and have patience as He works in our lives. So those are some of the things that we can do for ourselves. How we can prepare ourselves and keep ourselves ready and stable, so that when that false word comes, when that person on TV says that we can all be partakers in the common wealth of Jesus and be rich and prosperous, we can shake our heads and say, wait a minute, something there doesn't sound right. It's not common wealth. It's the common wealth. It's the family. It's the city. So when we have error presented, we know enough of the truth to be able to counter it. Jude kind of switches gears here then in verse 22 and 23. Because while we're watching out for ourselves, while we're training ourselves, while we're building up ourselves, at the same time, we need to be looking out. And he says, and have mercy on some who are doubting. Jude is going to classify here three different areas, mostly of unbelief. The first area may not be total unbelief, but leading that way. He says, having mercy on some who are doubting. And that's exactly what we're going to have when we find ourselves in the midst of false teaching. When we put ourselves into that influence, we could very well find ourselves doubting. Doubting the truth that we already knew. Others who have never heard the truth, just doubting anything and everything. And Jude says, have mercy on the some who are doubting. Don't be so wrapped up in yourself. Because it's very easy to close yourself off. I don't want to risk any unbelief or any false teaching to come into my life. I don't want to be influenced by any of that. So I'm going to just shut myself off and not have anything to do with anybody. Jude says, no, because while you're building yourself up, have mercy on some who are doubting. We may be the only stable influence in somebody's life. I mean, I'm thinking of somebody right now who I would place in my life, who I would place into this category of someone who is doubting. And my first gut reaction is just stay away. Well, they've chosen their way. Let them go. Jude says, have mercy on some who are doubting. And these are the easy. This is the easy class. There may be some of us today, even here, that may fit into this category of those who are doubting. You know, maybe things just aren't going the way you think they should be going in your life. You know, where's God? That type of an attitude. We need to be there. To be that anchor. To be that word of God to those people. To give them something to grab onto. And hopefully bring them over to a knowledge, a true knowledge of Christ. Jude then says, save others, snatching them out of the fire. Now, this is kind of a strange picture. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. This is kind of when those who are in that doubting phase cross over the next line. Maybe they've started making decisions and actions in their lives. And the picture is they're walking blindly toward the lake of fire. The picture that Jude paints is they're actually close enough that they're being singed by the heat. Jude says, save others. How do we save them? I mean, obviously, we save them by the Word of God, through God's Spirit working through that Word. But it kind of goes to show me there's really no time to where we give up. I've given up on people. I've justified it. I've tried to kick the dust off my feet. Walk on. And sometimes that is necessary. We fall into times in our lives. But it goes to show me that as long as someone is breathing breath, we should be proclaiming the gospel. Saving others, snatching them out of the fire. The last category is kind of, the picture is kind of vivid. And I'll be kind. He says, having on some, have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. This last group of people that we are to go after, Jude says, go after with fear. And I would advocate this is not someone to go after for a new believer. Or maybe even a moderate believer. This is someone who is solid in their foundation, who is praying in the Holy Spirit, who does have the love of God, who is waiting anxiously. For you see, sin will drive some people to the point of spiritual soil. My job every night in my travels takes me through nursing homes. And usually I'm there late at night and there's nobody really there. I mean, while they're there, they're just sleeping. The nurses like that. It makes their job a lot easier. But on Saturdays, I go out earlier. And I generally am walking through 7, 8, 9 o'clock. And as you're walking through and you're seeing these poor dear people, you can walk by and you'll catch an odor. And it's generally not a pleasant odor. For you know that they have soiled themselves. That's the picture that Jude is portraying here. People get so caught up, so lost in their false teaching and in their sin that spiritually they soil themselves. And most of the time, they don't even realize it. Jude says, have mercy even on these, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. And as the picture is there that we are trying to clean up that mess, it's not pleasant. It's something even those that do it every day don't look. But if we truly love God, if we truly love our fellow man, we are going to take the message of the cross to them. And guys, we're not responsible. There's nowhere in here, from page 1 to page 2000, whatever, there's no place in this book that says we are responsible for the result. Paul says, some plant, others water, but it is God who gives the increase. If we go into personal evangelism with the expectation that we are going to have success with every person we talk to, we are going to be mightily disappointed. But our success may not be realized in that day. Our success might be realized years later when someone else talks with them and as God opens their heart to who He is. So where is our hope in false teachers? Where is our hope in the escape from false teachers? It's in building ourselves up in the Word of God, maintaining that relationship with the God of the universe, and proclaiming His message of truth to whomever God brings our way. Next week, Jude concludes with probably some of the sweetest words in Scripture. He says, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now, and forevermore." It's all about Him. This has nothing to do with us. And when you hear a message today that is you-centered and you-focused and not God-centered and God-focused, then it is truly a false message, and flee from it. Father, we thank You this morning again for Your truth that's found in Your Word. Lord, as a leader and as a shepherd, Lord, I realize that even in that, I can't change hearts. And Lord, my speech could be beautifully said. I could say every word properly and use every analogy that's just to absolute perfection. But unless the Spirit of God is working in it, it'll just sound like trash talk to the listener. Father, I just pray that You would continue to use Your Word to encourage, to build up, to give strength to Your sheep. Father, that our focus may forever be on You. Father, would You please build us up in the most holy faith. Father, would You help us in our praying, that we pray with Your wants and Your desires. Father, may You keep us in the love of God. Father, help us as we wait. Lord, things happen as we're waiting. Things come along to distract. Father, keep our focus and our eyes on You, the author and finisher of our faith. Bless this little church. Grow us in the wisdom and knowledge of who You are. Father, may we be profitable for the gospel, to the gospel, and for your kingdom. For that's what matters. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.